Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Monday.
How are y'all? Thanks for tuning in to The Truth Is. Today's topic will be about dark skin versus light skin, the way that it's viewed in our society versus the way it's viewed in our community.
Right, this is a very, I guess, intense topic and debate, and people have a lot of thoughts and feelings about it. And, culturally speaking or historically speaking, we do have an understanding of where some of these conflicts stem from. But I think we still haven't really figured out how to move forward and beyond it, in my personal opinion.
Definitely. I think it's a very sensitive subject. I mean, I can relate to it as a dark-skinned woman. So I felt compelled to talk about it. I mean, you know, it's a lot of subjects that are taboo. People don't really want to talk about it because, you know, they either get into their personal feelings or, you know, people just don't like to talk about things that are sensitive to them. So I wanted to address.
Yeah.
We do.
Wait, Charity, can I just say, did you just say as a dark-skinned woman, you consider yourself dark-skinned? Darker-skinned?
Did I say that? I thought I said
light-skinned.
I'm light-skinned and you're dark-skinned.
Well, I don't know. I consider myself kind of brown-skinned. I don't know. But I guess.
How did I know you were
going to
say that? Why don't you want to be considered dark-skinned?
I'm not saying I don't want to, but I'm just saying from. Well, first of all, I can say this. Honestly, growing up, I did consider myself dark-skinned because my sister was lighter, and it was always like,
light-skinned girl is the prettier
differently. No, not at all. I would always hear, like, oh, Kim and Keisha, you know, the dark-skinned one and the light-skinned. You know, that's how I would hear us being described because my mom kind of grew us up. We dressed alike, even though we're not even a full 2 years apart. But we, like, had same outfits. Like, we were coordinated all the time growing up. So I just feel like people would say that, and I just, because she was lighter, I just assumed I was darker. But the older I got, like, why are you calling yourself dark-skinned? You're not dark-skinned. I don't have personal issues about it either way because I am a person who's completely confident in the skin that I'm in. So however somebody describes me, it wouldn't be offensive to me either way. But
right. I wouldn't be offended if somebody said that I was dark-skinned. I mean, it's not really a big deal. I'm black either way, whether it's a lighter shade or a darker shade. It doesn't matter to me personally. But, I mean, society makes it seem like it's two different races. I mean,
yeah.
As if light skin is more, you know, better or maybe easier to accept versus a dark-skinned person, which I think it's crazy because in my personal experience, even in middle school, high school, I was picked on because I was light-skinned and I had long hair. So, I mean, I hear a lot of women saying, oh, well, people tell me I'm attractive for a dark-skinned lady.
Right.
Or, you know, they tell me that I'm not attractive because I'm dark-skinned. But I've never felt that way or said that about anyone dark-skinned, but I have had that said to me because I was light-skinned, so.
Right. And I think it's so offensive for somebody to say, oh, you're cute for somebody dark skinned. I think people will say that so flippantly, they don't even realize the underlying, the underlying jab that you're taking at somebody when you're making a comment. But people say it and they think it's a compliment. Oh, you're so cute to be dark skinned. Saying that
right.
You're not supposed to be attractive because you have a darker complexion, which I think is kind of what has been perpetuated in our community based on things that happened to us historically.
Right. So, like, I've had conversations with, different ladies, whether it's at the beautician or, you know, like at a book club. It could be some random place like a grocery store, maybe on Facebook, you know, Wednesday Bible class. I hear women always saying, oh, well, society accept light-skinned women better than dark-skinned, or light-skinned women have it easier, or maybe a light-skinned woman got a position because she was light-skinned, but she wasn't, she didn't have the knowledge. It was just totally because she was light-skinned, which in my experience, I have never had that happen to me. I have never been picked over something or a dark-skinned person because of me being light-skinned. I was teased on in school. I was talked about. People put glue, lotion in my hair. I wasn't dark-skinned, but this still happened to me. I mean, I think sometimes people think it's just they have the market cornered as they have it bad because of their personal experiences. But, I mean, I had the same experiences as a person that was dark-skinned. So it's
so
not like it just happened.
So here's the flip side to it. Right. So this is why this is perfect topic, because it's how it's perceived in society versus how it's viewed in our community. So societal-wise, you know, some people, and I have friends in corporate America who acknowledge sometimes they're more comfortable hiring people of lighter skin. That's not you doing anything about that. That's the corporate. That's the institution saying that we're accepting this person a little bit more. We're more comfortable because they're a lighter skin. And if they chose to go with someone of darker skin, you know, somebody who may have an English accent, maybe they're from London, maybe they're of African descent, they can stomach those situations differently. So as you're saying, like, you feel like you got discriminated against because you were lighter skin, but that was by us in our community, not by the larger, you know, society. And I think that's what happens, because we treat each other a certain way because we're jaded by our experiences, because we've been denied, you know, discriminated against because of being a darker shade. So it's like,
or we're mimicking things that we see without even really knowing it, or, you know, sometimes you can do things just out of pure habit and not even, you know, realize that you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's happening a lot.
Right. So for you and your experience, like, oh, people picked on me because I was a lighter skin in school, or because I had. So those people were dealing with their own issues with how they looked because of how people treated them. Not saying that that's right what they did to you, but they treated you based on, I don't want to say jealousy, but I would say self-hate. They weren't comfortable with themselves because people made them feel like they weren't as pretty or as attractive. So then that's what happens. That's the cycle. Then we attack that person. You know, we attack people that we feel like we do have a little power over. You know, how can we control the fact that somebody, you know, outside of our community is judging us or placing us in these boxes, stereotypes? We can't control that, but then we can go and treat the person who looks this way a different kind of way or whatever, you know? It's really disempowering, and that's the problem with it, you know, the differentiation.
Okay, I get that for middle schoolers and high school, even elementary, but, I mean, once you're out of high school, you're an adult now, you should be able to take away your, put your personal feelings aside. I mean, how can a dark-skinned person be prejudiced or treat me bad because of her own insecurities because I'm light-skinned? I mean, if you have experienced the same thing, common sense would tell you, well, why would you want to impress that upon someone else? I mean, because I have been discriminated by dark-skinned women because of their own insecurities, but it had nothing to do with me talking about them or putting them down or making them feel like less attractive, because I compliment all women, no matter all black women, not just black women, no matter what their shade is. Sometimes I even say a person is attractive that I don't even really say, just to be nice, because, I mean, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'll say someone is attractive or cute because it's just the nice thing to do. But then I'm study getting the crazy look, the side eye, you know what I'm saying? As if I'm going around, I've even heard people say, oh, she thinks she's high society, or she thinks she's better than me, which I never said that. I've never acted like that. I've never put anyone down. Now, of course, I am confident in myself and who I am. It's not my fault that I got light skin. I just have it, and I accept it, and I appreciate it. So why am I being persecuted because of this?
Charity, I'm sorry. I got logged off.
You're logged off?
Oh, okay, we're back on. We had a technical difficulty. I'm so sorry. I don't know if I was off or you were too.
So are we back on?
But you were
on
saying that sometimes, yeah, you sometimes you say you compliment people I think you were saying it when you didn't mean it. I don't know if I'm somewhere it came out.
Yeah, I mean, because just it's just the nice thing to do. It's the right thing to do instead of just going around calling people unattractive. I mean, I even do that. So when a woman is side-eyeing me or judging me or looking at me crazy because I'm light-skinned or because I'm confident or attractive, I'm like, you know, your insecurities have nothing to do with me. Because a lot of people want to say, oh, she thinks she's cute or she thinks she's that or she's high society or, you know, she thinks she's better than me, which I have never said that. I've never treated anyone like they're beneath me. But it's like it's in their own head, but they want to put it off on me because they have their own insecurities. Instead of just facing that and dealing with it, they want to put it off on the next person.
Right. And, I mean, it takes somebody really insightful to be able to correct themselves. That's not something that the average person can do. So when you're saying, like, oh, well, you should be an adult now. You should know better. Actually, as an adult, all those things have already been integrated and infiltrated into who you are as a person. So then as an adult, it actually makes more sense that you are then walking around with this baggage. You're walking around with this baggage, oh, when I was in second and third grade, like these are the traumas that people transition to actual behavior, you know, behavioral actions that are inappropriate and are maladaptive. So, oh, this happened to me when I was second and third grade. You know, I got beat up by all the light-skinned girls or all the dark-skinned girls, whatever it is, and now I have these issues. Actually, as an adult, that's when the repair work needs to start, and some of us are just not insightful enough to repair, and it's hurtful and it's painful. So then we walk around with that baggage on our shoulders, and this is how we interact with people in a negative way. So I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying.
Older, they're not going to
get
better.
I get what you're saying.
First, unless you have somebody to check you on it, you know, somebody call you out or you seek some kind of help to say, dang, my perspective is skewed. How come every time I interact with this kind of person, I'm like this? Or, you know, every time I see this kind of person, I turn my nose up. And like you said, those people who say things like, oh, she thinks she's all that, oh, she thinks she's that, all those statements are really self-hate as because they don't feel like they are those things. Like, you know, people manifest their own thoughts about people based on how they feel about themselves. It's called projection. It has nothing to do, like you say, me, you. It's about them. So they project all these things upon this innocent person because that's what they need to do to feel better about themselves.
I get where you're coming from. And, of course, I'm all about getting help and getting counseling. Of course, we had a show about that, encouraging people to do that. Okay, but I've been mistreated by dark-skinned people, too. But I don't go around blaming all dark-skinned people for it, either. I mean, I still treat dark-skinned people as I would anybody else. I mean, they're a person just like I'm a person, and really the shade of their skin really doesn't matter to me. But sometimes I feel like I have to go out my way to be extra nice to them, and still it's not good enough. See, they
right.
mean mugging me, looking at me crazy. I'm like, dang, what you expect me to do?
Right.
I mean, especially, let's just get off the part of it just being a dark-skinned person. Just
right.
say if it's a woman and she's not attractive. I may smile at her, because it's the polite thing to do. But, I mean, dang, how many times can I look at you and smile at you if you're not really that attractive? And it has really nothing to do with you being dark-skinned versus me being light-skinned. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's just people that are insecure. And, you know, it's nice that you say that you, you know, go out of your way to, you know, make people feel more comfortable in your presence, which that's not your responsibility. And I get it because I've done that, too. I feel like, you know, because of how we look, we represent certain things to certain people. Again, us having nothing
right.
to do with it, just who we are. Like, oh, my goodness, oh, man, she walked with her head up. Dang, I wish I had that confidence. Instead of acknowledging that in a positive, they say the negative. Like, oh, my goodness, she thinks she's all that. Because I would think I was all that if I was able to hold my head up. You get it? So, you know, I find myself doing the same thing, being overly nice to people because I know that sometimes the way we're perceived is not really what we are. And I think we all do that to an extent. You know, that's what prejudging is. You look at somebody and like, oh, they're probably this because of this, this, and this, which is usually your own personal experience and not anything you know from that person, and this is the box I'm going to put them in. It's easier to go through the world like that because you don't have to get to know everybody. You don't have to take the time out to get to know things. You just make a judgment call based on your pre-knowledge, which is what prejudice is, essentially. So
exactly. It's one thing for society to view us like that. But in our own community, we don't have to be separated because society says we have to be separated. We don't have to say, oh, well, since she's light-skinned, she's better than us and her hair is pretty. Because, I mean, I run into people, like, at the Chinese store, it was a little dark skinned hair girl who her hair was natural just like mine. She was like, "Oh, well, your hair is better than mine." And I'm like, "Don't say that about yourself." I said, "Your hair is just as better, if not better than mine." I said,
right.
"You know, you have to speak positive things, because as a young girl, I wasn't always confident in myself. I mean, I had to stand in the mirror because if you're just not catching in on the show, I have been through sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse. I had to stand in the mirror and tell myself that I'm beautiful, that I'm worth it, that I'm smart, that I'm
right.
strong.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that from my mother. I didn't know my father until I was like 14, maybe. I know I was a teenager when I first met him. So I didn't get that from my mother and my father or anyone else that was around me. It had to come from within. Actually, I felt like it was the Holy Spirit telling me just to look at yourself and, you know, speak positive affirmations about yourself. That's what we have to do, which it should come from when you're a child. Your parents should help you build your self-esteem up, no matter what your shade of color is, regardless of what society say about you. Because we have to be responsible.
Yeah.
We have to be responsible for our children's confidence.
Emotional
in our own
well-being.
Community.
We can't
depend on the world or society to do it. It's our responsibility.
And when we do charity, that's the problem. When we do, this is what we end up with. People who are so not confident in who they are, because the images that continue to be displayed in our news and our media perpetuates the fact that if your hair is natural, if your hair is not long and shiny, if you're not a certain skin complexion, you are not beautiful. Everything you see nowadays, it continues to perpetuate that belief. So if you're not combating that in your child, telling your child that he or she is beautiful, you know, making no differentiation between someone who's lighter and darker skin, then they should be in a better place. But we also know just within our families, you know, a grandparent will treat the lighter skinned grandkids better than I've seen those things happen. Like, oh yeah, my grandma don't really mess with us because all of my mom's kids are browner skinned than these, and she likes those. So even within families, we can't get it right in our house. Then of course, when we go out into the world, we're going to have misconceived notions about who we are as a person and how beautiful we are.
Well, with that being said, like I was saying earlier, you know, if you're not in a position where you're born into a family, like Keislin just mentioned, where you have both parents who are helping you build up your self-esteem or even your grandmother, I mean, people in the world can help. It says it takes a village to raise one child.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're going out into your community, it should be somebody out there who can give you a compliment every day, tell you you're beautiful. I mean, just saying, if what they're saying is true about me being acceptable because I'm light-skinned. Okay, well, now I shouldn't be acceptable because back in high school and middle school, I was skinny with straight hair. Now I'm thick with nappy hair. So now am I supposed to automatically think that I'm not beautiful because I'm not skinny and my hair isn't straight? I mean, that's crap. I don't care what society thought of me then or now, I still consider myself as beautiful.
Right.
With
my
curly,
I
nappy,
mean,
however they want to say it, hair, with my thick
right.
thighs, in my heels.
Right. Well, I think, you know, each person individually has to be comfortable in their skin, but that comes from, you know, getting that positive feedback and encouragement that you're beautiful. And then I was watching on the news, it was a news in Florida, where the newscaster decided to do this piece on natural hair. And she, the piece that she decided to do was on a woman who, basically had this moment, this aha moment about her daughter, because her daughter was coming home crying and saying that people were saying bad things about her. I mean, the girl was probably like 3 or 4 years old, so she's not even in an actual school. She's at a daycare or some kind of pre. So kids are already making fun of her. So she comes home crying to her mother, and what she says to her mother is like, "Mommy, why isn't my hair like yours?" The mom had a weave in. So the mom was just like crushed. She just realized, like, at this moment, I am perpetuating this stereotype that my daughter is not beautiful because I'm not even, you know, modeling my natural hair. I have this weave in, and my daughter's crying. It's like, "Mommy, why is my hair different?" So this mother decided to cut her hair off and, like, go natural or whatever. And, you know, they interviewed her and the little girl. It was just awesome. The little girl was like, "Yeah, I look like my mommy, blah, 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 blah." So then the flip side to this was extremely interesting and even more funny to me. Not even funny. The story's not funny, but the broadcaster, the journalist, got motivated and decided to cut her hair. And she went along to tell the story as she was doing the story with the mom and the daughter that, she noticed that throughout her career, like when she started wearing weaves and being her hair all straight, how her career, she got further. And that, you know, she at this point, she just decided, you know what, this story motivated me, and she went natural. So when they came back to the live, you know, her and the her co-partner, you know, at the broadcast, she had this natural hairdo. And it was so funny how the white lady looked at her. It was just ridiculous, actually, because you could tell the white lady, which we don't care what they think, but it was like her comments about it was so, like, belittling, like, oh, well, that's kind of cute, too. That's a cute look. Like, it's just crazy that we can't even be who we are. We have to be who we feel like they will accept in certain spaces. And that's not all of us, because all of us doesn't work in corporate America. We don't have to, you know, bend, and, you know, some of us are entrepreneurs, and we just work in industries that don't require this. But a lot of jobs in America, when black people are too black, quote unquote, people are not comfortable.
This is my whole thing. Okay, society doesn't want to accept us, but they want to take our whole identity. I just watched a YouTube video where a white lady went through some extreme measures to make her hair look nappy like mine. So I'm like, okay, you want to brainwash us to make us think we're not attractive, our hair isn't nice because we're black, yet you want to do all this stuff to make your hair look nappy, inject your lips, get butt implants, you know, all the extreme stuff they do. I don't think it's that they want us to think they don't like us. I really don't think they want to rid us off the world so they can be the black people. White people want to be the new black people. That's what it is. So what we really need to do is see through their bullshit and accept our own. My whole thing is, why do we even want to be accepted by society? Why do we want to be accepted by white people? Why do we want them to think we're attractive? Why can't we just accept ourselves? Embrace our own community. Why can't we do that?
That's what we need to move towards. And I don't know, anybody want to call in and say, why is it that we are so obsessed with being accepted or compared? Or I don't know. I really don't know. I mean we can take it back to Willie Lynch, but
another thing too, I wanted to say, there are plenty of things that you can do. Because I have raised a young lady, she's 20 now, that you can do, because, of course, you can't get rid of all the outside influences, but you can put them down to a minimum.
Absolutely.
As long as you know you are doing your job to build up your children's confidence, regardless of what shade of black they are, they don't have to have a TV in their room. I mean, all this stuff on TV and in these magazines, it's not positive images anyway. It's negative. I was just at a swimming party 2 days ago where these two little black girls didn't want to wear a swimming suit because they didn't like their body. And I'm telling you, there was nothing wrong with their body, but it was in their mind. And you could just tell and look at them and talk to them that it was just so deep-rooted in their mind. It was nothing wrong with their body. But they were so ashamed. And I was like, man, that is so sad that young girls have this kind of image about themselves. Then they didn't want to sit out in the sun because they didn't want to get darker. They were already dark skin, a beautiful dark skin. They was like, oh, we don't want to sit out in the sun. We don't want to wear swimming. So I was like, wow, that is so crazy. It's so sad to see young ladies having these self-esteem issues this young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Young age.
And I blame the TV. I blame the media.
Oh, yeah.
I blame BT. I blame, okay, and then the parents have their part. Stop letting your children watch that crap. They don't have to have a TV in their room. If you want a TV in your room, you grown. That's fine. Y'all can sit down and watch some positive family shows together. That's what I did. I didn't allow my children when they were young to have TVs in their room. When we had one TV in the living room, and when we watched TV together, it was a family time. I picked a show and we sat down and we watched it together. I didn't let my daughter sitting up there watching those booty-shaking videos, objectifying black women's body, making it seem like the only thing you're worth is because if you have a big butt. I mean,
we
have to gain more control in our household.
We do. And
about the stuff we let our children see, let them read, let them listen to.
And nowadays we have books that, because, I mean, I remember, I don't feel like when I was growing up, I had a little book in my room that showed people with black faces, you know. Now all these new literatures are coming out where it's a story, you know, of a little, you know, somebody that looks like your kid. And I think that's the most important thing. It's like, if we don't introduce the positive images to our kids at a young age, they're going to find the negative ones at an alarming rate. You know, I know that some of us may be familiar with the study that was done in the 70s, which they were showing kids a white doll and a black doll and see what they wanted. And every black child wanted a white doll because they felt like this was the image of beauty. Like, this is in the 70s, you know. Like, we need to progress. We still haven't progressed. Like, we're still in the same, you know, in the same zone. My friend said she took her daughter to they were at Target or, I don't know, Kmart, and she wanted to buy a doll. So her mom was veering her towards the black dolls. And this is a parent who, you know, educates their kids, who she knows about her culture. She's an African dance. And she kept saying, "Mommy, I don't want those dolls. I know I'm African-American. I'm proud to be African-American, but they make those dolls look not cute." She didn't even say, "These dolls are not cute." And that's another thing they do to us. Even when they make our dolls, they look their version of how we are. So it's always a little skewed. You know, we don't look, you know, as good as their dolls, which is just totally disrespectful. Mom, I didn't even have a doll. My mom refused to buy me dolls until they start making black dolls, which wasn't until like 86, 87, I don't know, which is crazy.
Yeah, well, now they have a lot of different versions of black dolls out that are very attractive, more relatable to how we actually look, even our hair, different hair textures, different shades. Yeah, that's old news. I mean, every day I'm seeing some new dolls being invented that's on the internet, on Facebook, on YouTube. But I wanted to say this one thing that is recent. I seen on Facebook regarding Serena Williams, the tennis player,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, congratulations to her on being the best in her field. But a dark-skinned man was commenting about her versus what is the golf player name? What is his name?
Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. He was comparing the two, how because she is dark skinned, that she is really a representation of black people versus Tiger Woods. I guess because he's not fully black. One of his parents is black, and another one is what color? I don't know.
Asian descent.
Right. So that immediately took me to our topic on what we're talking about. I'm like, why would he compare the two? Well, Serena Williams is a true depiction of blackness. She's not Tiger Woods. And I know he was saying that because Tiger Woods is mixed. He's light-skinned. So that goes to show how people still are in that slave mentality, because that's where this derived from, when the outside slaves, which were dark-skinned, were treated differently than the inside slaves, who were light-skinned. But
because
they don't realize is they both
children.
Were slaves.
Right.
They both were slaves. They both were treated bad. They both were working for practically free. They both were treated bad. They both couldn't leave when they wanted to. They both were owned as an object.
Property.
They were owned by their slave owner. So I don't see why they think that the people on the inside, because they were light-skinned, were treated better versus the people on the outside. I mean, they both couldn't leave whenever they wanted. They couldn't live their life. They couldn't own land. They couldn't own their own houses. I mean, okay, they gave us a nicer shirt. So what? I would rather have my freedom than their freaking shirt. I mean, that's just me. I'm just saying. And I think our time is winding down. But we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please feel free to comment, call us, email us, any ideas or anybody you want us to talk about on our show. Remember always, if no one else believes in you, God believes in you, and believe in yourself. We love y'all. Thanks.
And we'll see you guys next week. And just continue to uplift your children, the people you know, and just continue to pass the message that black is beautiful. So we'll see you next week.
Think I could be replaced? Nah, I come from outer space, and I'm a classy girl. I'ma hold it up. You full of something, but it ain't love. What we got is straight overdue. Go find somebody new. You can